My grandmother used to tell me that there were men who used to behave like I do in those days.
My family, none of my family knows. None of them knows. And I don't wish them to know because, you see, it's not accepted in my area to be known that you are a gay.
I used to cry, you know, having noticed that I am gay. I would say, why me? God, why me? Why was I choosing to be this kind of a thing? God, what am I going to do, you know?
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Our news wrap colleagues are taking this and next week off for the holidays, but we've got some very special programming to end 2001 and begin the new year. A word about next week's tribute to the year's hottest queer musicians later in the program. Homosexuality remains one of the biggest taboos almost everywhere in Africa. Nigeria, with its 120 million people, the continent's most populous country, is no exception. Like many other former British colonies, Nigeria still has laws dating back to the Victorian era that make sodomy punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Conditions for gays and lesbians in the northern part of the country have worsened over the past few years because of the introduction of Sharia or Islamic law. In the state of Zamfara, for example, a man was flogged 36 times for having sex with another man. But since 1999, after years of military rule, many Nigerians are taking advantage of the return to democracy to express their opinions, aspirations, and identities. Alliance Rights Nigeria was formed 3 years ago to help advance the rights and promote greater acceptance of homosexuals. On this special edition of This Way Out, award-winning Radio Netherlands producer Eric Boscheman brings us the stories of six men who are in, but who are trying to live outside, the Nigerian closet.
My name is Charles. I am 30.
When did you first realize that you may be a bit different from other people?
I realized that when I was about 12 years old, and I get to notice that I am being attracted more to men than to the women. I thought it's something that I can deal with. You know, as the days goes by, I came to see that there was nothing I could do, you know, that I just have to accept it. Though I tried to see if I can have a kind of a change over, maybe change over to the other side and start doing it with the women and all that. But at the end of the day, I saw that it wasn't working. And then I took the right path.
When did you first act on these feelings?
Maybe probably when I was 13 or 14. I can't remember it precisely. Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, dear. That is talking about my first experience. Wow. Maybe there was this guy. You know, he fascinates me. I like him. And he was just about my age. We were playmates. And I just started it that way. You know, we were playing one day. And we got closer. And it happened. You know, we started touching ourselves. He responded. But I guess he wasn't. Because after that day, he never get to do it again. No. He just did it because he likes me. Up to today, he's still my friend. Yes, yeah. See, but we don't discuss such things again because he's not gay.
Well, I remember those days, my parents, my father, we were staying in Canada. It was early 60s. I was just about 4 years. And there's a guy that was just within our compound there. He's the one that introduced me. I was so small then. Just 4 years, I didn't even know anything. But
what did he do?
Well, he came along, took me to his house, gave me some goody-goody, sweet, and so on and so forth, and was trying to rub my penis, and I had an erection. And that first experience, I still went into my memory, and that's how I started developing that love for other men.
So it was a good experience for you?
Well, I wouldn't say it's all that too good experience. I wouldn't say it's bad either. It's just that that's the first experience I had, and I have no option.
I knew that something like that was in me, because I usually, the way I usually look at men, I appreciate men more than the way I appreciate for men. Usually when we go to swimming pool, when I see men, boys of my age, I look at them deeply more than I look at women.
What did you think of this? I mean, because this is not generally acceptable here in Nigeria. What did you think of the fact that you were more, seemed to be more interested in men?
Yes, but before I noticed that it wasn't me, I've never traveled outside Nigeria, so nobody taught me that it was me. It was me. Nobody gave me my right to choose what kind of life I have to live. I never thought anything about being African and being gay.
Looking at some cultures in Africa, like in the northern part of Nigeria, we find out that there are people they call Dandaodos. Dandaodo is a typical Hausa term. It has been existing even before the advent of the Europeans. It means men who are wives of men in the olden days. To show your kind of the riches, the immense wealth you had, it was easy for you to have lots of wives. But to show that you had immense wealth, you had to keep a stable of men, like keeping a harem of wives, to take care of them and their families, even if they had them, to be like a mentor to them. And in those days, you had these men having sexual relationships with them. What else is homosexuality?
I was trying to do it with the women, but then, you know, the satisfaction is not there. I just do it because of what people will say, you know, the societal, whatever. So I have some couple of girlfriends then, but it wasn't working out. It was when I entered the secondary school that, you know, I have some boys in my class, they are my classmates, and it happens, you know, just like that. But they are not, but the fact that they see some kind of a feminacy, if I should, with some feminine traits in you, it always attracts them. Though we don't always try to show it that much that we are effeminate. No matter how you get to hide it, it's always there. So I guess it's because of that effeminate traits that they saw, and they always, you know, come near, and at the end of the day, you get to do it. But that was that, you know.
In my village, I come from Ijebu, which is about 40 kilometers from Lagos, about 25 minutes drive. My grandmother used to tell me that there were men who used to behave like I do in those days.
In an effeminate manner?
Yes, effeminate. Effeminate as in doing things in a more softer way. And she now told me that those men were called Bowo. That is the name in Ijebu. And Bowo is not a language that was brought in by the Westerners. It's a typical Ijebu language. And he used to say that those people were very good orators. There were those who were town criers. There were those who were the musicians. There were those who used to play well on musical instruments. They were the poets of society. They did the finer things in society. They were not the hunters. They were not the warriors, you know, the macho type of people. But they were the ones who did the finer things, the things that made people enjoy themselves. That is in my own society. And in many other societies in Nigeria.
I can actually say exactly when I discovered that I'm gay. But I think I realized that every of my action, everything I do, it's feminine. And most of the time, people used to pass the comment that, wisdom, you do behave like a woman.
Was that a problem for you?
Of course not. It cannot be a problem to me because I believe this is something that is within me. I mean, I'm not the cause. It occurred to me that I'm always attracted to men. But most of the time I go for women, but each time I go, they turn me down. And of course, that gives me the courage to say, oh, I don't know, maybe they are feeling that I'm part of them. So I have to go to the one that, I mean, appeals to me. I'm attracted to men, and men are attracted to me. And I enjoy everything about it. I enjoy the whole fun.
After my school, I left my village. I came to Lagos. I went out with a friend one day. Then I was little more than 28 years in. And a white guy saw me. Because he was just driving along and just said, can I have a chat with you and your friend? I said, all right. He said, oh, let me take you people out. He said, okay, we were so happy. He took us out and we had a lot of good time, took some drinks. But I don't know that he has other intention. Then later he started telling me that he loved me, he liked me, he saw me and he was just in love with me. I said, but I never done anything like this. You say, but well, there's nothing wrong. I love you. I want to get to know you better. He came along to my place. We become very familiar with each other, and eventually we had fun together.
Was that a one-time experience, or did it happen numerous times with this man?
Well, after that, I find myself started, you know, having love for the whole thing. If I didn't love the whole thing, I wouldn't continue. But rather, I found that I loved it. I love it. Though I had girlfriends, but I never had any total passion for them. So I went along with this guy. After the first time, we continued like that. We became good friends, lovers, and it lasted for a very long time.
How long is a very long time?
Up to 2 years or 2 years and a half.
And then what happened?
Well, after that, he left finally to his place. As he went back to France.
Was it difficult when he left?
Well, it was difficult because really I was really in love with him. I found out that I was really in love. I didn't know that, but it was when he left, I realized that I was really in love with him.
Would you have wanted to go with him back to France?
Well, he made that proposal earlier. He said, why not go with me to France? I said, oh, my people will not want to admit that because I'm the only son. So my mother would say, oh, you cannot go anywhere. You must be here with me. So I know the African mentality. So I had no option. I said, I'm not going with you. But when you get there, you can write me and maybe with time I'll get to come along to stay with you there.
But that never happened, obviously.
No, that never happened at all. If it were later, I would have said, okay, well, I would go with you, but it didn't happen so then.
You're listening to The Nigerian Closet, produced by Radio Netherlands' Eric Boscheman on a special edition of This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
There's lots of gay bashing and gay hatred, and it's terrible in Nigeria, you know. I don't really blame them, you know. It's Africa, you know. We are so rigid here in Africa because of how we inherited it from our parents. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to hear about it. They believe that it's a Western way of life. They see some of our members that are so effeminate, you know. They walk like women, you know. They catwalk and all those things. They call them names and bash them and call them different names.
My growing up years was a very trying period in my life. I used to cry, you know, having noticed that I am gay. I would say, ah, why me? God, why me? Why was I choosing to be this kind of a thing? God, what am I going to do? You know, there was even a point I feel like, I don't know, but I was fed up with life then. It was very, very difficult, and it made me to lose my childhood because apart from the few friends I have in my school, I never always get to get out of the house. I'm always inside. Throughout the holidays, I'll be inside the house and all that. So it was very, very difficult for me.
Have you told your family or your friends that you are gay?
Oof, you don't always get to do that kind of a thing. They will scare you alive. Coming to talk about family, I thought that was the first thing I have to deal with. In the life of any African man that is gay, at least, let me not talk about the Africans now. Let me talk about from the side I came from the southeastern Nigeria. They are very, very conservative about such things. You don't even get to discuss it. You don't even get to... Wow! If they get to know, is, I think they will just ostracize you. That's the word to use. But when I was growing up, I was raised by my uncle, and I was living in his house from the time I was 10 up to the time I was 19. What then surprised us was the fact that he found out that I am.
He did find out.
He found out. He found out because he was a medical doctor. You know, he just found out somehow, and that was it. In fact, he told me that I can't continue to live with him. I left.
So basically he threw you out?
Of course he threw me out.
Were you disappointed? Were you surprised by the way that he reacted?
I can say that I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, my first reaction was that of shame. I was so ashamed. Why did I let everything out? Why? In fact, I begged him not to tell anybody. He scolded me. He threatened to tell some other people in the family. So throughout that 1 month, I wasn't myself. In fact, it was hell. It was hell for me then.
I have a sister in London. She came 1 December. They now told her that this is what I do. She now get down on her knees that she's begging me, please, if I'm into homosexual activities, that I should please cut away from it. That in abroad, most of them that are gays, they don't get married. You see men going with men, women with women, men with animals, things like that, that it is ungodly, that most of them don't get married, that she's begging me that God will somehow take it away from me. But I said, okay, I don't do it. I don't know what you're talking about because nobody has caught me in the act, you know. She said, it's okay, that now we're going inside to go and talk, the whole family. I said, okay. So we now came to the sitting room. My senior brother, which is the eldest, now said that we are going to talk. She said that we should start from him first, then her, that she has her own faults too, that everybody should say his or her mind, you know. He now said that it's unfair that we can't discuss what I've been doing, that he told her that I'm gay. She now said, even if I'm gay, that they should remember that the thing is inbuilt. They are born with it. But with prayers, that's the only thing that can cut it off. But what she wants to tell me now is, no matter what I do, I should be very responsible. I should go to school, be well educated, try all my possible best to get married.
In Nigeria, most people depend on their parents and all that. You know, the social security system is terrible. So you really rely on your family. There's this extensive family network. And you have to be careful about the family name. I am not too bothered about that because I don't believe because you are homosexual, that means you've spoiled the family name. Even in my language, it says Olilubomoje. Translated is a robber that spoils, or a thief that spoils the family name. It's not homosexual, doesn't spoil the family name. A brilliant child doesn't spoil the family name, but it's someone who steals who does that. And heterosexual steal, homosexual steal, that is a different ballgame.
A year later, she now came and she went to my friends that are close to the family and asked them, they denied it, that I'm not gay, that they have never seen anything like that. No matter that I have friends that are like that, most of them are hairdressers, some are into acting, some are into, you know, showbiz. And she now said, even if I am, that she is not too surprised that when she was in Nigeria, I used to make her hairs, cook, which is the work she's supposed to do. Even when she's going to work, I press her clothes. The ones that has a lining, very difficult to do. Even if she takes them to the dry cleaner, they don't do it better. But when I handle it, I do it more better than they do. So she's very, very impressed with that.
For now, I am kind of embroiled, if I should use that word, in this family thing now. You know, the business I'm doing now is a family business. And because my younger ones are there, I don't always get to do what I wanted to do. You know, you have to do this thing because of these people. They are looking up to you. You are their breadwinners. They have to go to school, you know. So I am looking forward to a time that I will be independent of them now, you know. I want to have a good life, at least have some money and maybe think of getting married. Though that one I know is difficult, but I think I'll still do it.
But why would you want to get married if you're gay?
I would want to get married because of the importance the society, our society, attaches to marriage.
if you're not married in this part of the country, you'll be open to so much abuses. People abuse you, people will talk to you anyhow. You will not have any respect, you will not have any prestige in the society. Above all, I think I would want to get married because I love children. So I've always been, you know, looking forward to a day I will have one I can call mine. Though I know it will be very, very difficult.
It'll be difficult for you to get married, but it'll also be difficult for your wife if you're gay.
We have so many gays that have gotten married down here. They're still there living with their wife, and their wife doesn't always get to know that they are gay, and they've been living their lives. So I think I can manage.
Did you eventually get married?
Yes, I'm married now. I had 6 kids. I'm happily married, but then, you know, being a bisexual, I still have feelings for other men too, sometimes.
Does your wife know that you have sex sometimes with other men?
Yes, I told her everything. I said, look, this is this. How do you feel about it? And she said, well, there's nothing too bad. It's just that I should be a man, be responsible to take care of the family, the children and everything. Just be a man, do your duty as a man.
Does anyone else in your family besides your wife know that you have these relationships with other men?
Of course. It's even a family something. And they know. They know. And my father knows. Only my mother doesn't know, but my father knows.
So, and it's not a problem for him?
For my father. Yeah. My father is the kind of person that doesn't talk so much, and you will not actually know what is in his mind at any given time. But he's not feeling too biased or too bad about it.
My family want me to get married. Everybody wants me. Even the last time I went to the village, I was surprised that around 10 o'clock, my 4 uncles came with my 2 aunties from my father's side, that they want to see me. I should come, or they want to see me at the market square. We used to have a market square where you can talk things over. And I now came thinking there was something serious. They now called me that, when are you going to get married? That all my mates, which is true, some has 4 kids, 3 kids. They told me, I said, I will get married when I have enough money and when I'm comfortable. That has been the excuse I have been given. For how long will I get money and be comfortable? Because the ones in the village, in the rural area, money, no money, they get married, have kids. So the only problem I have is if I can just leave them, get away.
Escape,
exactly. I need to escape, that's it. I am trying to go to South Africa from there to find my way so as I can forget about everybody.
So you want to leave Nigeria?
I want to leave Nigeria. If I have the opportunity to leave now, I will leave and live my life. I don't want to get married to any woman.
Do your children know too?
Well, my children are not all that too grown up. They are still very tender. So I feel that maybe in the near future, I'll get to tell them too.
You want to tell them?
I would want to tell them because I wouldn't want them to find out from another person.
Are you afraid that your children might react badly if you told them about this?
Well, they have no option because it's already something that is already there. They may feel bad, I don't know. But I wouldn't want to hide that from them.
Do your friends and colleagues also know?
Of course. Some of my friends, I even have straight friends, they know. And we're still friends. My colleagues, some of them know. And we're still together, working together. You know, I don't make myself too cheap or too foolish or get out of hand where people will start to say, what kind of a person is this or that kind of thing. I behave normally. I do things normally, maturely. I have traveled overseas myself earlier, some many years back. I've seen the life there in Europe, about the gay life in Europe. I've been there. So it doesn't bother me one bit because I know it's just a way of life. That's all.
like we were trying to form, I mean, our own group, Alliance Right Nigerian. I think it's a good move in trying to keep ourselves together. I mean, fight for our right, because this is our right, a right of expression. Everybody has right of expression, and I don't think there has to be limit on the way you express yourself, be it in terms of maybe sexual expression. I think it has to be free. But maybe the society will find himself, and maybe it will be difficult for them to legalize it, even if in the Senate, in the House of Reps, in any kinds of work. They find out that many people are gays, but nobody will like to accept that. Everybody is trying to pretend, which I don't like. I hate pretension. I don't like, because it will not help you to be yourself.
A lot of people are there frustrated that they're in the closet. They don't even know to go left or to go right. They should not continue to suffer. They should not continue to be in the closet. They cannot wipe away what they are. My advice for them is to come out and try to be themselves, be decent, fight for their right, and with time, they eventually get settled.
Since we've been coming through a lot of military rule, you know, everybody has always been hiding under one cover or the other. There's been total security breakdown in those days. You see, but right now that democracy is all around, people feel free to do a lot of things. Things are getting better. Of course, generally, we cannot even compare to South Africa. That is trying to be overambitious, you know, but we will get there, because I believe Nigerians are bold. Given the push, Nigerians are very bold. We will get there.
The Nigerian Closet was produced and presented by Eric Boshaman. Next time on This Way Out. And now we fly, little
girl, light against the darkening sky. The beginning of the new millennium introduced new voices to queer music.
And along the way, we got reintroduced to some familiar voices as well. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Join us as we present our annual Audiophile Year in Review.
A look back at our queer music favorites of 2001, coming the first week of the new year, here on This Way Out.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Eric Boshaman contributed program material with special thanks to Radio Netherlands. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable contributions from our listeners around the world, which U.S. donors can still make in time for a 2001 tax deduction by visiting our webpage at thiswayout.org. For more information, please email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks very much for listening on KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, and KRCC in Colorado Springs, Colorado, two stations we also want to acknowledge for their voluntary financial support, and on more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Warmest wishes from the entire This Way Out family to you and yours for a wondrous 2002, during which we hope you'll stay tuned.